We've come today to the third in a series of five lessons regarding cases of conversion that we find in the book of Acts, where the gospel was preached to various individuals in different locations, and they responded by obeying the gospel that their sins might be forgiven by the grace of God through their obedient faith, meeting those conditions of pardon that God called upon them to submit to. And today we have come to Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch, one who believed with all his heart that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the second version of lesson under this title. Many believe they are saved and are sincerely devoted to God. And that's what this Ethiopian eunuch suggests when we look at the type of person that he was, dedicated to his beliefs and service to God. They can relate to you what they have done to be saved, and many believe they have been saved either by the sinner's prayer, asking Jesus to come into their heart with no further acts of obedience involved, instantly becoming a Christian at that point where they call upon Jesus to save them. Others believe they are saved by infant baptism, where they were brought by their parents or grandparents or guardians or whoever to the priests who sprinkled water upon them, and therefore they were supposedly saved. But the book of Acts does not confirm either one of those or any other way that is popularly taught. The book of Acts does not confirm these ways of being saved. So what they have done to be saved is often in conflict with the cases of conversion that we can read about in the book of Acts. And that is why we must turn to study these things, because it is a terrible thing if how we have been saved conflicts with what we can read in the divinely authorized examples of what they did to be saved. Instead of trusting in what we have done to be saved, we should trust in the examples that have been left for us, taught by the apostles and evangelists, guided by the Holy Spirit. We should follow the examples of those who heard and obeyed the inspired teaching, so that we know for sure that we are saved in the way that pleases God. And indeed, that is the only way that we can be saved. The Ethiopian eunuch was devoted to God, in this case to the law of Moses. What he believed was right in serving God, this is what he did, even traveling thousands of hundreds of miles to Jerusalem from Ethiopia, and then going back home after worshiping. But he was one who was searching for truth, who had a humble and honest heart, and whatever the truth was, he was willing to submit to it that he might be in a relationship with God. And when he was told about Jesus and what he needed to do to be saved, he did not hesitate to obey from the heart the gospel of Christ. And so, because of his pride, he did not cling to what he had done in following the law of Moses, but he turned to the Lord Jesus, who has provided the sacrifice by which all must be saved. So let's look at this man, a wonderful man who was lost, but yet devoted to God, as so many today are devoted and sincerely seeking to follow God, but yet have been taught wrongly about how they must be saved. And if you are one who are listening or viewing this lesson, we would encourage you to just look at the example that is given here regarding the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8 and ask yourselves the question, does my conversion to Christ mirror this conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch in the sense that I have responded in the way that he responded? I have met those conditions that he met in order to be saved. And if I have not done that, am I willing to humble myself before God and before his word that I might be saved by Jesus by obeying the gospel message that has been delivered and that God intends for me to be saved? The Lord sends Philip to preach to the eunuch. The Lord uses an angel to command Philip to go to the eunuch. After arriving, the Holy Spirit directs Philip to go up and meet the eunuch's chariot. There are no miracle is applied directly to the eunuch, but God uses miracles to get the preacher in a position to be able to preach the gospel to the eunuch. Philip preaches the soul-saving gospel that he must hear, the eunuch must hear, believe, and obey. The eunuch was a court official of the Ethiopian queen, and he was in charge of her treasury. More importantly, he was a religious man devoted to serving God, willing to journey to Jerusalem to worship. And this man was either a proselyte or a Jew. Gentile following the law of Moses. So he either was following, and we will correct this on the screen. I think we have a mistake, but we will get to that. It doesn't take away from the truthfulness of what we're talking about here. But he was a proselyte, or either a Jew outright, and he was devoted enough to make that long journey to worship God as he understood that he should do so according to the law of Moses in Jerusalem. Acts chapter 8 and verse 26, but an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road. So he got up and went, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go up and join this chariot go up and join this chariot. And so what happened was that the Lord gets Philip into the position of being able to preach the gospel to the eunuch. But again, there is no miraculous power exerted upon the eunuch directly. But it is the gospel message that has the power to save him if he will submit to the conditions of forgiveness that he learns from the evangelist Philip based upon his turning and believing in Jesus as the Son of God. The eunuch wanted to know what the passage in Isaiah 53 meant and was willing to listen to Philip explain it. That's what the eunuch is reading that we'll look at in just a moment. He was reading from Isaiah 53 about someone who was like a lamb that would be led to the slaughter for the sake of others. Philip started at that point preaching Jesus to him. And this included Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, and exaltation as Lord in heaven. It also included what Jesus commands people to do in order to be forgiven. And to be forgiven, all, including the eunuch, must believe in Jesus as the Son of God, to the point of repenting of sins, changing our minds about our sins, and being baptized, immersed in water, for the forgiveness of sins by the authority of Jesus. And it involves also confessing that belief in Jesus before baptism. We'll get to that in just a moment. We cannot preach Jesus without preaching baptism for forgiveness of sins. And that is often left out because there have been those who have misrepresented baptism as a work that we're trying to earn our salvation by that act, rather than an act of faith in submission to God, trusting God to forgive us of our sins at the point of baptism. In Romans 1 and verse 16, Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." But what gospel did Philip preach? Acts chapter 8 and verse 30. Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "Well, how could I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of Scripture which he was reading was this: "He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth." The eunuch answered Philip and said, "Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of someone else?" And just like many of our Jewish friends today who have trouble understanding Isaiah 53, who is this written about? So this man in the days of the apostles, in the first century, had the same desire to know who is Isaiah writing about. Verse 35, "Then Philip opened his mouth And beginning from this very scripture, he preached Jesus to him. That's verse 30. Five of Acts chapter 8. But what did he do when he preached Jesus to him? Well, he was telling him who Jesus was and how he was the Lamb of God that had been offered for the sins of the world, dying on the cross, shedding his blood for the forgiveness of our sins, and that God raised him from the dead. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 5, previously in the city of Samaria, it says, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and began proclaiming Christ to them. And in verse 12 of Acts chapter 8, but when they believed, Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized, men and women alike. Why were they being baptized after Philip preached about Jesus, immersed in water, brought under the water, their bodies placed under the water? Why was that being done? Well, the first preaching of the gospel years earlier in Acts chapter 2 that we've studied previously, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, when they cried out, What shall we do? Peter said to them, Repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the salvation that God has offered you through Jesus. If you will, upon believing him, repent, change your mind about your sins and be baptized, immersed in water in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, then you will be saved. And that is what Philip preached to the eunuch, what had been preached in Acts chapter 2. How did the eunuch respond to such a message? The message about Jesus and salvation moved the eunuch to want to be baptized. And so you can't preach Jesus without preaching baptism for the forgiveness of sins. That is a shocking conclusion. There is no sinner's prayer here, and there is no infant sprinkling. But there's faith leading to repentance and confession of that faith in Jesus as the Son of God and being baptized immediately for the forgiveness of sins. That's what we see in this example of the Ethiopian eunuch. Philip tells the eunuch his baptism must be based on his belief in Jesus as the Son of God, not believing that he is already saved, but believing that Jesus will save him through his death on the cross, having been given all authority in heaven and on earth after raising him from the dead, after being raised from the dead by the Father. And yet many teach that we are baptized, but we are already saved when we're baptized. Well, that's not the case. Baptism is for the forgiveness of our sins that we read in Acts chapter 2. That's the same message that was brought to the eunuch. Many deeply believe Jesus is Lord, but do not believe Jesus commands them to be baptized to be saved. But we beg to differ. We see it here, that immediately when there came water, an opportunity to find water, that the eunuch said, What stops me from being baptized? If it was unnecessary for salvation, then why go to the trouble of doing it? The eunuch's response continues, the confession of the truth that Jesus is the Son of God is the foundation on which Jesus built his church, and that's what the eunuch did. Before he was baptized, confessed his faith in Jesus as the Son of God. But what does being the Son of God mean? What it means is that Jesus is equal in nature with the Father, also the Holy Spirit, that they are equally divine in nature, and that the Father has entrusted him with all authority over heaven and earth after raising him from the dead. And so believing Jesus is Lord and believing he is equal with the Father and the Son, that he is divine, we believe in him as the Son of God. That's what Jesus' church is built on, the fact that he is the Son of God. It is not built upon Peter or any other man, but built upon Jesus himself, that he's the Son of God, and our belief in him, the resurrected Lord, the one who is equal with God the Father and the Holy Spirit in nature. Matthew 16 and verse 16, Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's what he said in response to, "Who do people say that I am?" He said, "Lord, you're the Son of God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock, the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it," because Jesus would be raised from the dead. When Jesus healed a paralyzed man on the Sabbath day, commanded him to carry his bed through the streets of Jerusalem, they said that he was causing this man to violate the Sabbath by carrying his bed back to his home after he was miraculously cured by Jesus. John 5 and verse 17, but he answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I myself also am working. For this reason, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because he not only was breaking the Sabbath, but also was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God." And so, he is equal in divine nature, not created by God, but equal with God, eternal in nature. And he has also been given all authority by the Father after dying for our sins and being raised from the dead, now seated at the right hand of God, ruling over heaven and earth. Paul preaching in Acts chapter 13 and verse 32, "And we preach to you the good news of the promise made to the fathers, that God has fulfilled this promise to our children, and that in that he raised up Jesus, as it is also written in the second Psalm, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you.'" And that's when that was fulfilled, when he raised up Jesus from the dead, the third day after he had died on the cross, the first day of the week, Sunday, early in the morning, God raised Jesus from the dead, given him all authority over heaven and earth, where he has been ruling in heaven ever since, ruling until he comes again to raise the dead and judge humanity. So both confessing Jesus as the Son of God and being baptized are directly related to faith. Believing the word to the point of trusting the Lord to obey him and receiving forgiveness of sins. We cannot say that one is important when the other is not. That confessing Jesus as the Son of God is necessary while baptism is not, or baptism is necessary when confessing faith in Jesus is not. Both are what the eunuch did, and both are what we should do to be saved. Those who try to separate baptism from faith and the forgiveness of sins don't understand that obedience to the gospel is the display of a saving faith in Jesus, not trying to earn our salvation. The eunuch was baptized immediately because his salvation depended upon it, and the baptism accomplished by total immersion in water, not sprinkling or pouring. Baptism means to immerse, submerge, or dip, and that's what the eunuch did. Philip placed him under the water. The eunuch rejoiced in his salvation after being baptized. He was baptized. When he was baptized, he died, was buried, and raised with Christ. In a spiritual sense, because God forgave him of all of his past sins. He was not baptized into a local church or into any group of local churches. So let's read Acts chapter 8, verse 36. As they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." That is the confession of faith that is for the forgiveness of sins. Just like repentance is for the forgiveness of sins, believing in Jesus is for the forgiveness of sins, and being baptized, immersed in water, is for the forgiveness of our sins. Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if you confess with your heart Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. But as we pointed out many times in Romans 10, 9 and 10, repentance is not mentioned. In Acts chapter 8, the eunuch, repentance is not mentioned, but we know no one can become a Christian without repenting of their sins. And so we must repent of our sins, that we learn in the first preaching of the gospel, Acts chapter 2. Verse 38, and he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing. Again, they went down into the water so that he could be submerged under the water, his body being submerged under the water. And they came up out of the water, and the eunuch rejoiced, his sins being forgiven, trusting in God to forgive, not trying to earn salvation by his own works, but submitting to the terms of pardon that God had commanded through Philip. Colossians 2, verse 11 and 12, "And in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead." So we are baptized as an act of faith, trusting in God to cut our sins away, to forgive us of our sins, buried with him and raised up with him by the power of God. Finally, Romans 6, verses 3 and 4, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." That is what we are to do to be saved. That is what the eunuch did to be saved. And that is what we encourage all to do to be saved as we draw our lesson to a close today. If you believe in Jesus as the Son of God, then repent of your sins, change your mind, confess that faith in Jesus as the Son of God, and then be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, that you can become a child of God. That's what the eunuch did. As soon as he could find the water, he was baptized, confessing his faith in Jesus. We encourage you to do that today. We would be glad to hear from you by text, phone, or email and help you do that and help you study more, even via Zoom, or find somebody in your area to help you if possible. And we would encourage all to respond before it's ever too late. And those who are already Christians, we would encourage you to respond by continuing to repent and pray that the Lord might forgive you as a Christian of continued sin, that you might go forth by his to grow in his grace and knowledge through repentance, confession of sins, and prayer as often as needed. 1 John chapter 1, Acts chapter 8, verse 18 through 24. We would encourage all to respond before it is too late, as today we draw our lesson to a close.